First, if your vehicle was 30 years old, had no AC or airbags, and got 8 miles to the gallon, you might think about replacing it, right? That's where the U.S. Postal Service is at. May take some time to update all 217,000 vehicles in their fleet. And we learned at the end of last month that the Postal Service plans to begin purchasing lots of electric vehicles, including 45,000 from Wisconsin-based defense contractor Oshkosh, most likely produced at an out-of-state facility, though. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about changes happening at the U.S. Postal Service? What do you think about many of the vehicles getting electrified? Do you like that plan? Are there other changes you would like to see for the Postal Service? Do you have questions for ongoing changes there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jacob Bogage covers business and economics at the Washington Post. He's been covering the Postal Service for quite a while now and wrote about the electric vehicle transition just before Christmas. Jacob, welcome back to Central Time.
It's always good to be with you, Rob.
This has been a long and winding road, right? The Postal Service knew it needed to get new vehicles. Electric was a big question mark. What pushed it over the edge to make this this big change?
Tell me about it. Yeah, this is a really long and winding road. The vehicles that the Postal Service has on the street right now have been running since between 1987 and 1994. These trucks are older than me, and I'm 28. These are 30-year-old trucks. What pushed this over the edge is the Biden administration got involved here. The Biden administration reached out to the Postal Service around this time last year and said, your original plan to not purchase many electric trucks, simply not good enough, and kept up that pace. When the Inflation Reduction Act, that's the landmark legislation championed by President Biden and congressional Democrats, passed over the summer. That included $3 billion for the Postal Service to go buy electric mail trucks and the charging infrastructure they need. And that's what pushed this over the finish line, that influx of funding, the continued pressure from the White House, and the Postal Service wanting to maximize those resources.
And another part of the story, there were some changes. Congress allowed some changes for the Postal Service, some basic finance stuff for them that seems to have loosened up some of the purse strings there. What happened? How important is that when it comes to the vehicle story?
That's a great point. Yeah. In the spring of 2022, Congress overhauled the Postal Service's budget. It didn't really give them a lot of money, but the Postal Service had a lot of debt. And Congress said, we're going to write a lot of that off. $50 billion in future amounts, $57 billion in past due amounts. So we're talking a lot of money. That allowed the Postal Service, which actually has considerable cash reserves, but not nearly enough to pay off its debt, to put that money into buying new equipment that they have been well behind on purchasing. The top priority on their list was new delivery trucks.
Now, they've made the decision to go electric with so many of their vehicles that is not something you wave a magic wand and they're on the streets tomorrow. What is the process going to look like?
Yeah, and this is, I've done a lot of reporting on this and traveling with the Postmaster General to really see what implementation looks like. The first electric vehicles, let's start here. The first of the new vehicles manufactured by Oshkosh are going to start hitting the street at the end of 2023. So that factory is still getting built out. They're still hiring workers. That's down in South Carolina, not in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And those will start hitting the street in 2023. Electric vehicles will be part of that early mix, but will really pick up closer to 2025, 2026. After 2026, the Postal Service says it plans to buy exclusively electric vehicles. And that's because it's going to have enough lead time to upgrade the infrastructure in its facilities. Think about that small town post office in your neighborhood. It probably can't support an electric vehicle right now. And now multiply that by all the small towns across the country. That's way too expensive. It's not really feasible to do that kind of transformation. If you can change the route structure, and that's something the Postmaster General is investing a lot of time in, if you can change the route structure and put these at bigger industrial facilities that have the infrastructure, it's a lot more affordable. And so implementing electric vehicles is going to come with kind of an entire suite of changes to kind of the basic blocking and tackling of how we get our mail.
And you alluded to there, Jacob, another point of controversy in this saga, a Wisconsin company making many of these vehicles, not here in Wisconsin. And there were union labor concerns, and still are criticisms that, hey, these are going to be made by this Wisconsin company, but in South Carolina.
Yeah, and there are still union concerns. Oshkosh Defense and the workers out in Wisconsin, represented by the United Auto Workers, shortly before the Postal Service finalized its choice with Oshkosh, the company told the government, actually, we're not going to make these vehicles in Wisconsin. We're going to make them in South Carolina at a non-union facility. Theoretically, labor is going to be cheaper there. But Oshkosh is also reporting difficulties with hiring in South Carolina and finding a qualified workforce to do it. They're reporting the same kind of supply chain snags that we're all experiencing as the pandemic has worn on. This was not, you know, moving to a non-union facility is not a guarantee that things are going to be cheaper. And you're certainly handcuffing yourself when it comes to getting qualified labor, though I'm sure the folks in South Carolina are just as hardworking as the folks in Wisconsin. So those are, you know, there's controversy in who's doing the work, but there are also real world consequences and when we're going to start seeing these trucks on the street.
Talking to Jacob Bogage with the Washington Post, looking at the U.S. Postal Service, including but not limited to the transition to electric vehicles at the USPS and other changes, reforms, long-term plans at the Postal Service. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. Couple things. They made a change probably a couple of years ago now that mail that is local to in Madison goes to Milwaukee and to be canceled and then comes back to Madison. And it seems like it used to take maybe 2 days for mail to be delivered, and now it might take 4 or 5 days for mail to delivered. And the other thing is that the mail carriers sometimes are delivering mail at 7 o'clock at night, and I feel sorry for them if they have to work such long days.
Okay, thanks for the call. Jacob, the route that mail takes has had some changes. The timing has had some changes. What kind of things are out there?
Yeah, let's take this in reverse. And Kay, thank you for bringing up those points. In terms of how late mail carriers are out on their routes, I mean, a lot of that is seasonal. And when there is more volume or more packages, they're going to be out on their routes later. And believe me, I hear from letter carriers that I work with, that I talk to all the time, that is something that they are not fond of as well. In terms of the route that mail takes and where it gets processed, a lot of that is undergoing or has undergone and will continue to undergo transitions. And this is part of this much longer tail to the decision to go to electric vehicles, because part of that is you simply cannot ship mail all over the place and we're going to do one type of sorting here, and then we're going to send it to another plant and do a separate type of sorting and a third and a fourth. There's way too many steps involved with just physically sorting mail these days. And that's something the Postmaster General, when I interview him, talks to me about all the time. Eliminating a lot of those steps is going to be more efficient. It's going to be better for the environment because there's going to be less energy, less trucks on the road. But it's also going to open up space in these facilities to dispatch carriers from and reorient carrier routes, which will enable electric vehicles. So again, there is this really kind of, you have to get in the weeds, this really long tail to what, it's not one simple decision. It's a lot of really complex decisions that kind of have to dovetail together in a very precise way. And we're going to see the rubber hit the road on that quite literally.
Thanks for that call, Kay. We're talking to Washington Post, a business and economics reporter, Jacob Bogage, about U.S. Postal Service plans to replace its old and inefficient gas-powered delivery trucks with new electric ones, as we hear, a lot of them getting replaced over the next couple few years, plus other issues, reforms, changes at the Postal Service. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question for our guest. If you have thoughts on what you want to see from the Postal Service, if you work there or have in the past, love to hear your perspective as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Jacob Bogage, who covers business economics and the U.S. Postal Service at the Washington Post, looking at the latest news from the Postal Service, including their plans to purchase electric vehicles for its delivery fleet. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest, your experiences with mail over the last couple of years, changes you might like to see. Call 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Kelly is joining us in the Madison area. Kelly, hello.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, a couple minor points with regard to the Postal Service. We are looking at an expenditure every year. As we all know, stamp prices go up, and the Postal Service seems hamstrung with their costs. Heavily subsidized by the government and the cost of stamps. But with the electric vehicle implementation, and we know that electric vehicles are not exactly cheap right now, what I'm curious to know is how does the public plan to accept the cost structure of raising prices to pay for these vehicles, as well as is there any chance that the Postal Service can be completely revamped with regard to being more efficient, such as other third-party mail delivery services? We all know that FedEx, UPS, DHL seem to have a better efficiency structure, and I'm wondering how the Postal Service plans to implement.
I gotcha, Kelly. A lot there, Jacob. Let's start with that second point first, the efficiency of the Postal Service versus the other carriers. Now, the Postal Service, by law, has to provide services to places that are not profitable, may not be efficient. How do we compare and contrast there, Jacob?
Rob, you nailed it. Yeah, the Postal Service has got to go over the hill and around the bend, and FedEx and UPS and Amazon and DHL do not. And that is a major advantage and disadvantage for the Postal Service. They have to go there, which means they are not, it's not necessarily profitable, and it costs more to dispatch a letter carrier all the way out there. But because they have to go there, there are more opportunities. And in fact, the Postal Service delivers a lot of Amazon's packages, has relationships with FedEx and UPS and DHL to make deliveries to unprofitable areas. And by law, the Postal Service has to turn a profit on every delivery. So, you know, we've heard a lot of discussion, and I think your caller alluded to it, that the Postal Service is subsidizing these private carriers. It is not. It is profitable on every delivery it makes. Now, are some of those more profitable than others? Absolutely. Is there a lot of infrastructure to the delivery network that maybe is not taken care of by every single delivery? Yeah, that's also true. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's losing money on some of these trips. There was so much in that question. Rob, redirect me.
Yeah, and Kelly's other point was he's worried that you know, this is going to raise costs. These electric vehicles, not cheap. Infrastructure changes, they cost money to do. Are consumers going to bear the costs of these changes?
Yes. I mean, there's no way around that. Yes, they are. Now, the price of a stamp right now is 60 cents. A forever stamp, first class stamp, is 60 cents. A year ago, it was 58. Or excuse me, 6 months ago, it was 58. 6 months before that, it was 55. 6 months before that, it was 53. So we are seeing these steady increases. And frankly, they do outpace inflation. But the price of mailing a letter in the United States is cheaper still than pretty much everywhere else in the world. This is not going to have, when we talk about price increases for the Postal Service and on postage products, the biggest impact this is going to have is on commercial mailers. It's not going to have a tremendous impact on individuals like you and me or our wonderful caller who are sending Christmas presents or holiday cards or birthday cards or even getting bills through the mail or sending remittances through the mail. This is really going to have a larger effect on commercial mailers. Think banks, insurance companies, pharmacies that send prescriptions.
Thanks a lot for the call, Kelly. Maddie joins us next in central Wisconsin. Maddie, hi.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. A question relating to the changeover a few years back. You go into the post office and there were two slots, one for out of town and another for in town. Then that was discontinued. Now, whether it was nationwide or just, you know, here and there, but it was with a few places that I visit. And if you just mail a card in Black River Falls or Wisconsin Rapids or Marshfield, it ends up going God knows where and takes 4 or 5 days to come back. Why was that eliminated in some way for some strategy?
Thanks for that call, Maddie. And Kay mentioned that earlier, a Madison to Madison piece of mail might well travel via Milwaukee on the way. It's more efficient to take it out of town rather than keep that local stuff local, Jacob?
Sometimes it is, because it depends who's doing that sorting. I mean, mail is generally these days not sorted in the back of the post office when you drop it off. It goes into the bin. They take the bin. They take the bin somewhere else. It gets run through a machine. It comes back. Believe it or not, in most cases, that is more efficient because you don't have somebody in the back of a post office flinging envelopes into different bins. You know, you have a machine that can read everybody's handwriting and can do it for you. It frankly is more efficient. And the Postal Service would rather have those clerks who are so well-trained up at the front of the shop helping customers than they would have somebody back behind the window, back behind the racks flinging envelopes left, right, and center. So, you know, this is why I love writing about the Postal Service, because it seems like such a cut and dry kind of, we give you the mail, you deliver the mail. No, this is a highly complex and integrated agency that touches all of us. And there are so many kind of fundamental questions about its role in our community and where our stuff goes. And I really appreciate that question.
Maddie, thanks for the call. Talking about the U.S. Postal Service with Jacob Bogage from the Washington Post. Time for another caller. Mike is with us in Wausau. Mike, hello.
Hi. I was going to ask about the Postal Service delivering packages for Amazon and big companies, but I think you already answered that. So I'm just going to go off the air with one statement, and I applaud them going to electric vehicles. People don't realize, but industry has been using electric forklifts since the 1960s. So just making that point.
Mike, thanks for the call. There is some enthusiasm out there, Jacob, for the electric changeover.
Yeah, that's a great point. And frankly, when I talk to environmental activists who have been pushing the Postal Service on this, they bring up the electric forklifts every time. The amount of times people have told me about electric forklifts, because you're right, it is something that's flown under the radar. And that's a great point. I think one of the reasons why the Biden administration has been so enthusiastic about this is that this is a huge order of electric vehicles, which means you've got to have the factory set up. You've got to source the parts. You've got to source the batteries. You've got to figure out what you're going to do when you recycle batteries. I mean, this forces a major agency to set up processes to deal with this energy transition. And because the Postal Service is doing it, it's going to make it easier for other private sector companies to do the same thing. And I think that is why they're the most excited for this. It really sets a mold that the rest of the logistics industry can follow. FedEx, UPS, Amazon, they have all made their own climate pledges, and some are more ambitious than others. The Postal Service, in this one announcement, jumped all the way to the front of the line.
Thanks for that call, Mike. In our last minute and a half or so, Jacob, I wanted to talk about the fundamentals of the Postal Service. I remember not that long ago, the talk was, We send emails instead of mail. The UPSs and FedExes and Amazons are taking all the profitable package delivery routes. There's nothing left for the Postal Service to do that's going to make them money. It doesn't seem like I'm hearing that kind of doom and gloom about the Postal Service lately.
Well, the fundamental issue hasn't changed. We still do send emails and text messages. We still, FedEx, Amazon, UPS still want to take the most profitable routes. We're not hearing the same amount of doom and gloom because the Postal Service is not facing the same kind of financial distress. That is because it got its debt almost completely wiped out by Congress. It doesn't mean the business model is any better. It doesn't mean the profitability is getting any better, but it does mean that there is finally some coin in the piggy bank that it can tap to make these modernizations. Eventually, Congress and the American people are going to have to decide how we want the Postal Service to exist in our country. Do we want it to be supported by people who send mail and packages, or do we want to support it with our taxes because we feel like we need a post office?
Jacob, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Jacob Bogage. He covers business and economics at the Washington Post. We talked with him today about the U.S. Postal Service plans to replace delivery trucks with electric vehicles, plus some other big news in mail delivery.